Da meldet er sich wieder. Das heißt, wenn dieses Geräusch ertönt, dann will der Computer, dass man sich mit ihm befasst. Aber jetzt mache ich den mal aus. Jetzt nix. Aus.
Nix.
Nichts. Jetzt mache ich den wieder an. Jetzt hat er sich gemerkt, was in den letzten 4 Jahren alles passiert ist.
Radio Woltersdorf and Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2023.
Interessant, ne?
Live from the Super Booth 2023 from a mobile studio.
End of file.
Live von der Superbooth 2023 hier in der Wuhlheide FEZ, Familienerholungszentrum heißt es eigentlich. Und unsere Live-Schalte geht schon langsam in den Nachmittag über. Der Himmel ist behangen und wir hörten gerade ein Konzert. Jero, ich glaube, du weißt besser noch, wer das
Kurt
war.
Kurt Dahlke war mit einem Freund da und hat Ambient gemacht. Man hört noch im Hintergrund, das Konzert geht natürlich weiter, aber wir haben... strengen Zeitplan, Gäste.
Ja. And our next guest is Michael.
Hallo.
Michael, you work for Pittsburgh Modular.
Yes, genau.
And I know that you're making videos, but I did not see them. I only know what Jero told me. He told that you are morphing into bees and yetis. And synthesizers are lying in the underwood.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to imagine, but maybe also not so hard. Also Jero, ich habe ihn mal so kurz zusammengefasst.
Naja, jeder kennt ihn aus diesen Videos, der verrückte Professor, und sie sitzen im Wald und schrauben oder eine Biene läuft wo rum. Wie heißen die, die es nicht gibt? Die Yetis und jetzt ein Bär wegen Tiger?
You became a...
Der Koksbär? Der Koksbär?
Cocaine bear?
Cocaine bear?
Nee.
No, you're not a cocaine bear.
I am, not in my professional life.
Aha. But in your professional life, you're just a bear.
We say in America, I'm not a bear, but I play one on television.
Ah, okay. And television is YouTube in that sense. Okay, no, I don't know. Lola.
Yeah, actually, I didn't see the videos either. Maybe you can just explain us what are the videos about.
We like so many other synthesizer companies, our way of reaching the public is to present videos that present our work. And Richard, who is the boss of Pittsburgh Modular. And
is he here? Was he the other guy?
He's here as well, yes. Yes, he's here.
With the glasses.
Genau, yes. Uh-huh. And he produces the videos, so we make them together, but he does 98% of the work. And we want to find a way to present to the public something about our instruments, but also something about ourselves, and to amuse ourselves as well. So there's something serious in those silly videos as well about ideas about natural sound, for instance. We're very interested in electronic sounds becoming more intimate with their in their relationship with natural sounds, that there doesn't have to be a large space between natural sounds and electronic sounds. So a lot of our design is about making sounds that remind one of nature, and the promotional video material that we make celebrates that in a way that's also fun. So, you know, looking at bees and polar bears, It's a part of the world that we hope our sounds can inhabit as well.
Also Jero, ich erzähle es dir kurz, ne? Also sie haben den Ansatz, natürliche Klänge und elektronische Klänge zu verbinden, und sie zelebrieren das in ihren Videos, indem sie...
So habe ich die Videos immer verstanden.
Ja, hier
ich finde die sehr schön.
So there's a lot of fans of the videos. Is it really like your most prominent product, or do you have the feeling that the videos are your best promotion, or is it?
Well,
awesome?
I mean, our promotion is the instrument itself, yeah. The things that people say about it online. and the things that we say about it online. That's what promotion is in the year 2023.
So you're not reduced to being the bees and the
and
bears.
And the crazy scientists. Well, that's what we heard. Yeah. That you're the crazy scientist in the video.
That's the reality of 30 years ago. Maybe we would make an advertisement in a magazine and spend a lot of money and reach 200 people who subscribe to the magazine. Now that opportunity is much more open, yeah?
Also vor 20 Jahren, hier ist fast 200 Jahren, oder? Vor 20 Jahren hätte er vielleicht noch Anzeigen in einer Zeitschrift geschaltet und die 200 Abonnentinnen damit erreicht. Heute machen sie halt das.
Und es funktioniert. Also die Videos sind beliebt und sind einerseits ein Kommunikationsmittel, aber eben auch eine Werbung. Und es funktioniert, oder? Jero, du...
So, und jetzt kommt das nächste visuelle Feature. Jetzt geht's um die Panels und die Knöpfe. Die finde ich ja auch immer.
Now, Jero wants to talk about the panels and the buttons.
Okay.
Kann das sein, dass sogar Schneiders Laden einen Drehregler von euch hat? Da gibt es so ein ganz großes Schild.
So ein Banner,
Cottbusser,
ne?
Ein Banner. Ah, und da ist doch der Knopf.
Ja.
Das ist der.
Ja. Der große Knopf.
Habe ich
ja,
richtig
genau.
Gesehen.
With that, eigentlich haben wir vorher das gesagt. We used to say every instrument should have one big knob on it.
But only one?
Well, no, that one knob should be much bigger, that it's the most attractive.
Yes.
It's like... like a child is automatically attracted to a fire engine, yeah? Because of the color. Or a child is automatically attracted to a garden hose.
Yes.
Yeah? And one big knob is attractive. Okay. No, I mean, but seriously, we think about panel design in a way that the size and the placement of the knobs is a part of the invitation to use it. You don't have a nice relationship with the instrument if you don't want to touch it. Mm. That's all you do is touch an instrument and listen to it, of course. But if you can't hear it well and you can't enjoy touching it, then the experience isn't very interesting to you.
Also man will das Instrument mit Genuss berühren und damit interagieren, und der große Knopf ist eine Einladung, die so ein bisschen die Aufmerksamkeit zentrieren soll, so wie kleine Kinder auf Feuerwehrautos zum Beispiel reagieren. Oder was war das andere Beispiel?
Ja, genau. Oder dass man eben das Instrument nicht nur hören will, sondern auch spielen will und auch Freude daran hat, es zu spielen. Und das ist so der Ansatz, glaube ich, von Pittsburgh.
Ja, Freude ist für uns sehr wichtig.
Warum sprichst du denn jetzt eigentlich Deutsch?
Oh, I come from a German family, but I don't think I could conduct a whole interview in German. I lived in Germany for a year, 35 years ago. But I come from a German family, so I can understand a lot, and occasionally I sound intelligent in German, and the rest of the time I sound like a person who is stupid but has a good accent.
Oh, yeah.
I have a large German vocabulary, but very poor grammar.
I see.
So I grew, and because my parents left Germany in 1966, everything I know about German comes from the 60s.
So you're kind of stuck.
A little bit, yeah.
Also erst 1966 hat das Land mit seinen Eltern verlassen, Deutschland. Und
da bin ich geboren.
Ah, this year he was born.
Yeah, I was born in 1968.
Hey, and you left 2 years before?
Nee,
meine Eltern haben Deutschland verlassen.
Yeah, you were born.
Yeah, 6 Monate nach meiner Brüders Geburt.
Ah, I see, so they were like immigrants and first generation and your second gen.
Genau, yeah.
I understand. So there was some imagery of German culture in your familiar background.
Growing up in my family, yeah, my parents don't, you know, they still behave in a very German way, but we never spoke German at home.
Oh, what is the German way?
They think that American bread isn't very good.
Oh,
oh yeah, that's very German.
That's a universal truth. That's not a German way of thinking.
But they gave up some German things like Süßer Senf, for instance.
Ah.
They don't really like sweet mustard.
Okay. But where they're from? Maybe they're from the north.
My father is from Kiel. My mother is from Ruhrgebiet in a small town called.
Yeah, then that's why you only
because
eat
sweet mustard isn't from South.
Sweet mustard is a South Germany thing.
Is it?
More Bavarian.
It is completely. Yeah. Ja, also süßer Senf.
Ja, ihr redet gerade über Essen.
Ja, wir sind so ein bisschen vom Thema abgekommen.
Nö, ist ja okay. Ich
and it comes
gehört.
In a, das hm? Kommt in einer Zahnpasta...
Tube.
Tube, genau.
Ja, Senf in der Zahnpasta, schöne Marken.
Wir können auch über Senf reden. Also ich stehe ja eher die Thüringer Methode und da ist ja eher die anderen Marken.
Jetzt die alte Marke, die aber sehr lecker ist.
Na, es gibt es gibt ja in Thüringen, wir driften ab, in Thüringen gibt es so eine Grenze, das ist die feine Bratwurst und die grobe Bratwurst.
Ah, so the coarse,
so
grobe Bratwurst?
Coarse Sausage.
Ja, ihr, was meinst das?
Mehr gehacktes.
Oh, ja, mehr gehackt.
Ja, the meat is coarser and finer. The texture.
Ja, genau.
Genau, und da gibt es dann auch die Senfunterschiede, je nachdem. Aber das ist ein Streit, den will ich jetzt nicht anfangen.
Maybe again relates to sound. Would you describe the Pittsburgh modular sound rather like a coarse sausage or like a fine, well-done sausage?
I would say that I think one of our goals as a synthesizer designer is to make tools that the user can find their own music in, that we don't really have a sound per se. I think we don't want to have a sound, but I think we want to encourage the widest possible variety of sound, but that it's impossible to do that. I guess I want our tools to be neutral, but I want them to be friendly.
So you give
and I don't want them to be excluding something.
I see. So you give out the Meat Factory and do you listen a lot to what people do with your synths?
I try to, yes. Yes, I say this every time I go to a show like this one, that the greatest pleasure I have, what people say they like an instrument or they liked what they saw about an instrument or a demo, I don't, that's nice, but I don't really care. What I really want is for them to use them. Mm-hmm. So whatever they do with things that I've designed, I want it to be useful. Being useful is the best thing. You know, people who buy them and put them on a shelf and they look at them and they think they're beautiful, that's okay, but I really I want people to find them useful tools, the way you have a preferred knife at home, you know.
Yeah,
also you like to cut bread with this knife, not that knife.
Also den yeah, das.
But people do all kinds of things with our instruments I never I wouldn't do. I didn't know that you could do. And that's a real pleasure to me. I feel like I've made a very successful tool if people find a way to use it that I did not think of.
Also die Nützlichkeit vor dem äußerlichen Erscheinen ist die wichtigste Eigenschaft der Instrumente. Und
ja, auch der Moment der Überraschung, ne? Dass
ja,
Leute
genau.
Sowas machen.
Ja, ja.
Ich habe vor 2 Jahren mal so ein Computerspiel geschrieben mit so Musik drin, 3D, bla bla bla. Und dann ging das online und irgendwer hat dann bei Twitter geschrieben und so Fotos geschickt von Orten, wo ich gar nicht wusste, dass man da hinkommt.
Aha.
Und ich war so, ja, geil.
Exactly, yes. Very much so, yes.
Ach, ich wieder. Na, ich habe ja Pittsburgh, beobachte ich ja schon länger, nicht nur auf YouTube. Bin mal kurz ausgestiegen, da gab es so ein paar einzelne Panels, so Effekte und so. Und dann kam der Kracher mit Creative Audio zusammen. Dieser Easel, West Beast Easel,
ja, genau.
Diese zwei gegensätzlichen.
Aha, ja.
Und ich habe festgestellt, es gibt jenseits von Behringer noch preiswerte Volks-Synthesizer.
Das wird schwierig jetzt.
Aha. Na, das hieß doch früher immer so. Und weil ich ja auch eigentlich ein Beginner war und immer was gesucht habe, man braucht ja mal ein Einstiegsprodukt.
Ja, of course.
Weil man will nicht gleich ein Gehäuse kaufen und man will ja erstmal so rumfummeln und die Dinger waren unschlagbar günstig. Davor gab es eigentlich nur die böse Firma. Ich nenne sie jetzt einfach mal so mit dem B.
Naja,
es gab den.
That's what the B is. The B stands for
böse.
Böse und auch für was anderes.
Ach so, ja. Ja, na, es gab ja den Neutron, das war ja auch so ein Einstiegsmodell, preiswert, aber die zwei Panels, die empfehle ich jetzt immer.
Aha.
Diese zwei.
Welche?
Aber, na, hier den Beast.
East Beast and West Pest.
Okay.
Genau, ja, als Einstieg.
Wir sind ja auch eine Verbrauchersendung, also wenn sie
ja,
als
wir
Einstieg
müssen ja hier mal ein bisschen, sonst
Panels
kommt ja an. Keiner. So, aber jetzt habt ihr ja so einen schönen Desktop, den mit dem Bären, Tiger.
Tiger.
Und auch ein neues Knopfdesign, wa?
Eigene Knopfdesign, genau, ja.
Ein eigenes?
Eigenes,
how,
ja, ja.
How do you invent a new knob?
Well, you don't invent the idea of the knob, it's a design, really. You know,
oh, it's not from you, okay.
No, I mean, it is our,
after the
it's
wheel,
our
we
knob,
the
but
knob.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't say we did not invent a knob, but Well, the word invent is a word I always have trouble with, the word invent.
Ah, I see.
just because I don't think anything really is... invention to me is a very big word.
But etymologically, it just means to... It goes inside. So it goes inside you and you put something
out. For me, invention is like genius. It's like a superhero. But anyway, yeah, so we have a new knob design because of our relationship with Create Audio, we can produce a knob in large enough quantity that it makes sense for us. So Richard designed a sort of a family of knobs.
And a Knopffamilie.
And why did you create the new family of knobs? Is it for the effect that you said, like with the...
Because we can make them in colors that we like, because they are... So well, also because they are affordable and because we don't have to then rely on a supply of another manufacturer's knobs.
Sure.
There are a lot of really great manufactured knobs in the world.
I believe so. I hope so.
The history of Knöpfe is actually very interesting, and I have a large collection of very old knobs, and I'm excited when I see knobs I want, or I have more knobs than I could possibly use. But as a manufacturer, we have to have something that we can rely on. Yeah? You know, you need something that you can say we need...
We need the big knob now in that shape.
Exactly, yeah.
You can just adapt it to your product and your interest.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and is Richard, is he a product designer or is it like self-educated?
We're all self-educated, I guess. That's maybe an American trait. I don't know. I'm a circuit designer. My principal role in Pittsburgh Modular is that I'm a circuit designer.
Yeah.
But being a circuit designer has a lot of other parts to it, and Richard is the head of the company, so he does a lot of different things. One of them is designing panels, making the video content, running the business as a business, but making decisions in a design context as well. He writes the software inside of our devices, but also makes the decisions about the general design language, you know, the look and feel of our instruments, and so he makes most of those decisions. So. And a lot of them are interface based too as well. The new knob has a rubber edge, a surround. Yeah, so it's easy to play in the dark, for instance. That's important to musicians who aren't always playing in daylight.
Ah, okay. Also mit dem neuen.
No, or because your hands, for instance, are sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you play in a sweaty club and
on a honeypot.
Yes.
And then, die neuen Knöpfe haben eine Kunststoff oder eine was? Eine Beschichtung, eine Gummibeschichtung, genau.
Und wenn man
synthetische Gummi, nicht natürliches.
Wenn man mit einer synthetischen Gummibeschichtung und wenn man Bier und oder Schweiß oder Honighände hat, dann kann man den immer noch spielen.
Senffinger.
Senffinger. Mustard fingers, yes. genau, so. Und die Frage war auch, ja, warum macht man sich eigene Knöpfe und... ja, es hat viel damit zu tun, dass man dann auch ein bisschen mehr, glaube ich, Kontrolle hat über das Aussehen, über den Look und Michaels Kollege.
Und auch die Integration ins Produkt, ins eigene.
Genau. Und Richard, der Kollege von Michael, der...
Im Gegensatz zu Make Noise.
Ja, das...
Wo sich die Geister immer streiten in den Foren.
Aha.
Über das Panel-Design. Hast du das gesehen?
Nein. Naja.
Gut, wir reden aber über Pittsburgh und ich habe jetzt Tiger mir mal angeguckt, also... Drei Oszillatoren, man kann alles hin und her verschalten. Was ich
mit Folder.
Folder.
Genau. Falten? Sagt man das auf Deutsch?
Yeah, like the mathematical.
Wave
falten? Mathematical falten. Operation? No. Yes.
Wave folding is functions on the voltage. When it gets to a certain size, the top and the bottom literally
lap over.
They fold down, and because it's controllable by voltage, then you have a dynamic control over harmonic content.
Ah,
that's the big
nice.
Thing about, you know, we in some ways we talk about what we do as an analog version of physical modeling, which is quite common in the digital realm, because we are very concerned to make rapid, natural, dynamic changes in harmonic content and in dynamic content. So the loudness and the harmonic content of a sound can evolve quickly, softly, generally and complexly over time, which is the character of natural sounds.
Also es geht eben darum, komplexe Änderungen von Lautstärke, Frequenzgehalt der Sounds zu ermöglichen, weil das für ihn nah rankommt an das, was er anfangs beschrieben hat, die natürlichen Sounds.
Genau, deswegen sind ja auch mehrere Hüllkurven drin und es ist sogar noch am Ende der Kette, also das ist ja semi-modular erstmal.
You could hire him right away. He can just
und hinten raus ist sogar noch ein Bucket Brigade, oder?
Ja, genau.
Okay, what's, what is this?
Echo-Chip. Echos?
Echo?
Ja, ja.
Eine Eimerkette.
Eine Eimerkette, genau.
Eine Eimerkette. Naja, also ein Reverb oder was? Echo Chambers?
Yeah, so there is a voltage-controlled analog delay at the end of the Taiga, but the Taiga is completely patchable, so it doesn't have to be at the end of the chain. You could put it somewhere else. But with the internal patch, that is the place that it has in the chain. But it's, and there's a regeneration path as well, so you can make a kind of a reverberant quality, and again, to create an atmospheric quality. Like a sound in air instead of a sound in a dead room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But it's not a long delay. It's not like a looping delay, like a compositional delay. It's an atmospheric delay.
Okay.
And because it's a Bucket Brigade device is a particular technology for implementing delay, and it has a soft a particular character and some distortion quality as well.
How long's the delay?
Well, not very long.
The maximum?
0.25, 0.33 seconds,
okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's not too much, no.
No, just for the atmospheric. It's, like I said, it's not a...
And it's analog, you said, right?
Is it
even feasible to have a longer analog delay?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
How much can you get? Like
a second or two.
Okay.
But it starts to sound like hell.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Analog like delay is
noisy.
Limited in its length. Yeah, because the noise of the system piles up. It's named Überhand.
Yeah. Oh. Oh wow. Yeah, my first synthesizer was the Korg Minilogue, and it had the delay section also at the end, because it's not modular. It has to be at the end, and there was a certain amount of noise in it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Okay. You do it with coils, right? The delay.
In that?
Yeah.
No,
in any delay, any analog delay.
No actual
no,
coils.
Okay,
no
coils. Okay, forget about it.
Coils are big and heavy. I like coils.
Yeah, Michael Mark Spulen. Jero Post gerade so ein bisschen hier, der Fotograf ist.
Ja,
ist der
ich will
immer
mich
ganz
ja
wuschig.
Mit meinen Helden mal fotografieren oder so. So. Na, fragt ihr auch mal.
Ja, Michael, wie gefällt es dir denn hier? Das wievielte Mal bist du denn überhaupt hier?
How often have you been to Super Booth?
Oh, to Berlin?
No, Super Booth.
To Super Booth, dreimal.
Dreimal,
yeah,
third
time. Yeah, this is my third time.
And is it worth it?
Yes.
The trip?
Yes, although...
It's a long trip.
You really come from US, right? From Pittsburgh?
Yes.
From Pittsburgh, so it's not only a claim.
Yeah, people always ask us if we're actually from Pittsburgh. Sind Sie eigentlich von Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody would pretend to be from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It's like pretending you're from Essen or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like you want the credibility of Essen. Not that there's nothing wrong with Essen. My mother is from a town very near Essen. That's why
you wouldn't pick it.
No, it's just not a like. People are proud to be from there, but nobody pretends to be from there the way they pretend to be from somewhere else. But no, Berlin is very nice. I like it very much. Super Booth is the best event of this type.
Is it? Because I was wondering, I think in Europe it's pretty more like flat, like Tech One, but in the US, there's something similar?
No, I mean, not similar. What there are some small events that are nice too. But mostly people go to the very large commercial event, which is like Frankfurter Musikmesse. Which is, you know, horrible commercial event. And there is one of those in California every year.
Okay.
Called NAMM, N-A-M-M, National Association of Music Manufacturers.
Where is it? In which city?
Anaheim.
Anaheim?
Anaheim is a suburb Wie sagt man das?
Ja, Vorstadt.
Vorstadt. Ist Vorstadt of Los Angeles. Ah. It's where Disneyland is.
Anaheim.
Yeah, yeah, Anaheim. It's Disneyland. Yeah. You should just say it's at Disneyland, it's because at Disneyland. It is literally gegenüber Disneyland. It's just across the street.
In my hometown, there
so
was...
So, like, we stay in a hotel that looks like a gingerbread house.
Oh.
In nice. Free time, you can do some roller coaster.
There is no free time. Okay. All you do is yeah. is lose your voice.
Oh.
From screaming.
Shit.
Is it similar no, here?
Huh?
Some tents are quite noisy here as well.
Superbooth is friendly. Okay. And Superbooth is nice because the people who come to Superbooth use synthesizers. And they're musicians. No, they're not just people who are trying to buy or sell something. They're musicians and they listen and they want to talk. It's more of a meeting, a conference.
An exchange also.
Yeah. Yeah. We learn something when we go to Superbooth, not just how many synthesizers can we sell.
Yes.
And that's really nice because, you know, sure, we have a business, but we're just people who like to learn, you know, I want to learn something more than I want to make money.
Yeah.
Here you can do both, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Do people buy stuff from the tents right away?
No, not directly.
No, right?
No, but, you know, it... you were talking earlier about videos, for instance, you know, what good are they, what use do they serve? You put so much online about what you manufacture. We make a new instrument, we have a manual, we put a PDF on our website. You can buy it from our website. We do a demonstration video that tells you everything about it. So people come to an event like Superbooth not because they didn't look at the video online that was a demo that lasted for 30 minutes in a very good sonic environment and you can listen to on headphones and learn everything you need to know. They come to Superbooth because they want to talk to you, because they want to touch the instrument, and they want to have a real experience, right? And so that's
and
what we're...
And talk to the manufacturers.
Exactly, and for us to learn something from them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, maybe that turns into a sale because somebody finally said, you know what, that actually does sound really nice and I like what it our relationship in person with the instrument.
Yeah.
But they ask us questions I can't answer, and I say, well, look at the manual and the PDF online. I'm here to, you know, be the person. No, because there's always some question I can't answer. You know, they want to know something incredibly specific.
and I got the feeling that at Superbooth there's a lot of experts. I mean, you don't come here if you don't already know most of the things. So
that's very true. Yes.
Yeah. So probably so that's
the other thing that's wonderful about Superbooth is that the people who come are educated.
Yeah.
They care. They already know something. You learn something from them about how they want to use your instruments that you didn't was not in your head before that. And but also sometimes people come because it's a bunch of boys, mostly boys.
Yeah, sadly.
Who are very competitive and they want to see if they can ask you a question you can't answer.
Do they?
Oh, really?
Wow.
But do you also get inspiration for your work, like new ideas?
Oh, yeah, always, sure. But it comes, you know, the best kind of inspiration is the kind that comes very indirectly.
Yeah.
You know, you bring something from very far away into a new context. Some of our best decisions in designing instruments don't come from the world of synthesizers. They come from somewhere else entirely because you stay open to them. You know, you learn something while you're listening to trains or something like that.
But talking about boys, how many female manufacturers are there? That
not,
you know.
Not, the answer is not enough.
Uh-huh. If you would before, because I'm forcing you now to call out a number percentage.
I have no. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even know most of the manufacturers.
Okay. Okay.
We started a long time ago. We need to. We're wrapping up soon. Yeah.
Redet ihr gerade über Frauen im Business?
Ja.
Na, eine Frau hat auch aufgehört.
Eine Frau.
Von Table Instruments.
Ja, genau. Ja, ah. Ja, genau.
Also es gibt eine. Und die hat
die
jetzt aufgehört.
Und das
ja,
war
super. Also, so
also
ist es gerade.
Also, alle Frauen,
ein bisschen.
Die zuhören, da ist jetzt eine Stelle offen.
Ja, eine, aber nur. Ihr müsst euch bewerben.
Und
no, it's our, it is everybody's fault that we have such a monoculture in the synthesizer scene. It's very elitist in 100 ways. It's elitist in gender, it's elitist income, it's elitist in education.
Ethnicity also.
Elitist in ethnicity, elitist in almost every way. And we are all at fault for that, unfortunately.
Yeah, the music is increasing, it's a bit louder, but it was a very nice chat with you, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Very good fun. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, now always when I see a Pittsburgh Manula, I will think about sausages in some way or the other.
Bockwurst.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, vielen Dank.